2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 1 down to verse number 8. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. For whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we are pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We'll read the next two verses. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And let's pray. Father, help us tonight. We certainly need you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord once again. We just pray you meet with us tonight on a Wednesday night as we just have a simple thought, a reminder from your word, that it would sink deep within our ears all the way to our hearts, and we take it home with us and apply it to our lives. That we may find encouragement and exhortation through the scriptures. We pray for those that could not be here tonight, God, you touch their bodies and their minds and give them healing and strength. They might join us on Sunday coming. We look forward to all you have planned for our church and the path you have before us, as uncertain as it is at times, and we're not sure which way the road turns at times, but God, we know you're already there in the future. You already have a plan. God, make our path clear and we'll walk therein. Help us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We're going to just jump into these first 10 verses or so tonight as an overview. Of course, Paul writing this epistle. We call it 2 Corinthians. You could call it 3 Corinthians, I guess. But as we went through 1 Corinthians, we saw that Paul had already written a letter prior to the church at Corinth that he had started. And in reference to that letter, he writes them what we call 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians was a very abrasive letter, I guess you could say. It was very pointed. He addressed them. There's more accusation. There's more shaming language. There's more issues being addressed in 1 Corinthians than any other book or letter that Paul penned down. 2 Corinthians, he's writing again to them. He tells them in the first chapter, I didn't come to you yet in person, because if I came to you and I saw that things were not satisfactory, I'd have to exercise his apostle authority and his church discipline. He says, so I'm writing. He was concerned how that first letter was received and to see if things had been fixed or not. And rather than, as I come back into preparing messages for the first time in several weeks, instead of, and I'm not against the books and not against the outlines and the ideas. You can go on the internet if you want to. You can print off sermons or a dime a dozen. And most of them are even cheaper than that. But you don't just want recycled and regurgitated things. And I'm not against all that. What I've just tried to do the last month or so, not because I'm better than anybody else, because I need it. It's just be saturated in the Word of God and just the Word of God. And I'm right now, not by design, just by the timing, working through 2 Corinthians. When I'm done with that, I'll be done with starting at Acts, not the Gospel, but Acts, and having gone all the way through Revelation in the last month. And I'm in 2 Corinthians right now, listening to it on my phone when I drive, or reading it, or listening to it at the house. And I said, Lord, I just want to see some thoughts and some lessons from 2 Corinthians, just the Holy Spirit being the guide. And I'm not against reading books. I'm not against the guys who use concordances. I do it. Using outside helps is fine. But I don't want to default to that. So I just went to 2 Corinthians the other night. I was messaging Joy from work the other day, a couple weeks back, saying these are some thoughts I had at 2 Corinthians, and I just want to share those tonight. And I started looking down through some key words of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and that's all we're going to look at tonight, because there's some key words there in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. And it could be under this heading, I guess, of how to find contentment in conflict. How to find contentment in conflict. Because as we go down through the verses we just read, you see key words jumping out. For instance, in verse 3, at the end of it, he says, the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. The end of verse 4 says, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. down to verse number 6 towards the end. He says, whether we be comforted. And the word comfort is a key word here. The word consolation is a word that's used several times in chapter 1. But you also see the key words here in chapter number 1. He's using this word again and again of the word suffering. He uses the word trouble, the word afflicted, the word tribulation. And the idea here, Paul is showing the comfort and the consolation, the contentment that can come despite suffering and trouble and affliction and tribulation. And I don't know, and I'm sure there are men that know the Bible much better than I can speak to this, but I don't know of any letters or books, we call them, but letters that Paul wrote to the churches where he was more honest or open than 2 Corinthians. It's just an open letter, not open as far as what we call that today. Nowadays, if there's, and it's ridiculous, you go on Facebook, and if there's one church that has a problem with another church, the pastor will write a letter to that pastor, but he writes what's called an open letter. Instead of sending it to that pastor, he posts it online so that everybody can read it. That's called airing dirty laundry. It's called gossiping. It's sowing dissension. So not that kind of open letter, but open as far as he opens up his heart here, the emotions of Paul, and he lets us look inside the mindset of Paul, and in his letter, opening it up, he gives us insight into Paul's personal struggles. Paul had many struggles within himself. He had more than any other apostle externally, from his own kinsmen, from his enemies, from other persecutors, but Paul struggled greatly within. And sometimes we think, unlike the scriptures would teach, that it's tough, that it's the mature thing to do, or it's the spiritual thing to do, that if you're struggling, just hold it in. Just hide what you're going through. Just pretend that all is well. And when Paul writes this second letter here, as we know it, back to the church of Corinth, he is very open about the affliction and the troubles that he is in. If you look there in chapter 1 down to verse number 8, he said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble." Paul wanted them to know. He wanted to open himself up, not because he was complaining. I don't believe he had a discontent attitude. Paul said when he wrote the church at Philippi, in the book of Philippians 4, chapter 4, says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned," Paul says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." So then Paul wanted to let these folks know that we're all going to struggle with sin, and was suffering. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. When he said he was the least of something, it wasn't sinners. Paul said, "I am the least of the apostles. I am the chief, the most, the worst sinner." And he said, we all struggle with sin and with suffering. No one is immune. If you look at verse number 8, he said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." So these key words here of tribulation, suffering, trouble, affliction that Paul is saying, this is what I'm going through, church at Corinth. And then he turns around and says, now I'm going to show you how to have comfort and consolation. How can I be content in whatsoever state I am? I'm in a state of suffering. If I am in a state of trouble, of affliction, of tribulation, whether it's physical ailment, spiritually, mentally or emotionally, in this spirit of affliction, of suffering, of trouble, of tribulation, those key words, Paul said, I have learned in those states that I find myself in to be content. And he was content because he learned how to find and gain consolation and comfort from the right areas. I would think we would say tonight, if you look at verse number 3, this is where we want to be. Us Christians, believers tonight, say, this is where I want to be. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." I think that's where we want to be tonight. You got good Christian people, you love God, you love other people. You say, I'd love to be in a position where I could be a comfort to those that were in tribulation. Where I could be used by God to bring some sort of consolation, some sort of sympathy or empathy or help to those that are in need, those that are in the suffering, the trouble, the affliction, the tribulation, those key words. I'd like to be able to bring them some comfort. I'd like God to use me to bring them some consolation. Paul says, back it up a few steps. He said, first we must obtain our own comfort and our own consolation. He said, no one is going to be immune to struggling with sin. No one's going to be immune to suffering. We all struggle with sin. We all endure some kind of suffering, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And Paul said, first you better find out how to obtain some comfort and some consolation so you can learn to be content whatever comes your way so that you can be used to help somebody else who is there. Amen. He said, well, I just want to be there. It's like asking God, and you got on. People say, don't ask God to teach you patience, because he will. And I don't. I don't say, God, teach me patience. I say, God, would you just give me patience? I do not want to learn to be patient. I'm not a patient person. Everyone here that knows me, especially my family, can testify to that. I am probably the most impatient person that I know. That's probably true. But how can I be content in conflict? It comes through gaining that comfort and that consolation from the right areas. Verse number 5. Here's Paul's warning or his openness about how we all suffer or struggle, but how we also all share in the answer. He says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So far it's about Paul and Timothy who are writing here. Then in verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Paul says, I'm writing an open letter here, an honest, humble letter, insight into my own personal struggles, trying to learn to be content. I'm trying to show you how I despaired, Paul said, even of my own life. I was in fear of my own life. I was distressed, he talks about in other passages. He goes, but it's not just me. You're going to face it too. But he said, here is the news, church at Corinth. We are going to share in the sufferings together. We're going to share in the conflicts together. He said, if that be the case, our hope is this. Because we share in common sufferings, we also get to share in a common comfort and consolation. So we're honest tonight. The toughest, most spiritual person amongst us. And you can pick who that is. And if you think it's you, you're in trouble. You ever had someone that thinks they're the best and the strongest and the... whether it's spiritual or otherwise, this was not in my notes because this is just strictly just some thoughts from the scriptures. So I didn't have any illustrations, but let me give you one because it's popping into my head. We had a sergeant's exam recently. This is how my humor works. Three of us made it to that round of where we go in and we take a 3-hour written test over the policies of the hospital. And then we go in for an hour oral board where there's the chief, the captain, a sergeant, and a corporal. They get to ask questions of any kind and on the test, and they grill you on policies, on scenarios. And one of our three, two of us worked 7 o'clock Monday morning, went in. And the third guy worked overnight Sunday, so he was there when we got there. He is so sure, let me rephrase that, he was so sure that he was going to win the stripes over everybody, that when we got there Monday morning, he was sitting in the sergeant's chair with his feet on the desk and his hands behind his head. And then he read the same email this morning that everybody else read that says, you're not the sergeant, Barnes is the sergeant. And I can't wait to see him tomorrow. And no, I'm just saying. It's just how humor works. If you don't have humor like that at work, that's fine. Because many guys were polling for me anyway at work, and some of them last Thursday who believe in luck and things of that nature texted me and said, good luck in the process. I said, luck not required. I'm just the best there is at the hospital, so I should be picked by default. And so he wasn't the only guy who thought this. But the toughest, most spiritual person amongst us tonight has conflict. If the Apostle Paul, who was probably not the least of the apostles and the chiefest of sinners, struggled with sin and struggled with suffering, so do we. And the ones that do, which is all of us, there is that honest desire, whether we vocalize it or not, that I would like to have some comfort. I'd like to have some consolation in this. And Paul said, I'm going to show you how I found it. Brother Hedgepeth's sermon Sunday, I'm trying to remember what he preached on. But he says, I'm going to tell you what you need to know, and I'm going to tell you how to do it. And that's good teaching and preaching. Now if we can get him to do it in under 45 minutes. Hopefully he listens to this before Sunday. No, we didn't have an afternoon service Sunday, so we preached longer by design. This is the warning or the encouragement, both on the two sides of the same coin, that I see in 2 Corinthians. Paul is warning the temptation in conflict. Tom, if we are rewinding this thing, I have not yet learned, we could say, I haven't learned myself that in whatsoever state I find myself in, suffering, trouble, affliction, tribulation, I have not yet learned to be content. If we are there, Paul says, then the temptation in that conflict, in that state of being, is to look for our own source of comfort or consolation. Again, if you look down to verse number 9. Let me find it. It says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. When I find myself in a season, again, these key words in chapter 1 of suffering, trouble, tribulation, affliction, physically, mentally, spiritually, the temptation, if I have not learned like Paul has learned, to get healing, comfort, and consolation from the God of all comfort, is to begin to look for my own source of comfort, my own source of consolation. You could call it this way, we medicate our pain in different ways. Some people are in a season, maybe it's a lifetime, maybe it's an event a long time ago, maybe it's a current thing. Who knows what it might be for you or for me. And we go at it, we look for some comfort, some ease, some relief from mental or emotional or physical or spiritual suffering. And some say, I'm going to medicate this with addiction. Some say, I'm going to find some relief in this through self-destructive behaviors. Even this one, I believe this is scriptural. Some say, I don't want to address and to deal with the situation maybe a long time ago or current. So my way of dealing with it is I will become not an alcoholic or a drug addict. I'll become a workaholic. And as long as I go 100 miles an hour, 365 days a year, I don't have time to think on it. I don't have time to face it. And we put up these facades that give the appearance on the outside. Look, if it was a city, look at that city. Look at the walls. Look at the strength and the integrity, the character of that city, only to pull the walls down in the book of Kings and find out that everything is under famine in the city. What we need, Paul said, is divine consolation and comfort. If you go over to Luke chapter number 6, we'll pull this into here. I only have 3 points that I want to get to, but we will be done on time either way, because we can finish this up another week. But Luke chapter number 6, just a supporting text for this thought of the comfort and consolation we need while in conflict in order to learn to be content in those states. Luke chapter 6, verse number 20 says, this is talking about Christ. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor. It's not something we would think is as common sense, that happy or fulfilled if you're poor. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So far he said, if you're poor, happy are you because you're going to get the kingdom. If you're hungry now, you're blessed because you're going to be filled. If you're weeping now, that's fine because you're going to laugh. It's almost like Paul saying, I have learned to be content in what state I am because I've learned how to get comfort and consolation from God. So I'm okay where I'm at. I'm content where I'm at because I know I have divine help in this. If you look at verse number 24, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you, and all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Can we pull some application from this? God said, blessed are you now if you're poor, if you're hungry, if you're weeping, if you're reviled, because you're going to have your reward. You're going to have that divine assistance. You're going to have God help you. Paul said, I've learned to be content in these states because I have comfort and consolation of God, versus when we go looking for the comfort and consolation in our own strength. Where I'm going to medicate my situation, not with medicines, but with habits, with addictions, self-destructive behaviors, working all the time. When I'm seeking my own relief, my own comfort, God said, there you have it. And how temporary and destructive is it? And then you're going to find out the end of this thing. That's what he says in verse number 24, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. And you can go down through that and it's reversed. But he says there in verse 24, warned you that are rich, there is a danger in having all the resources and riches that I think I need to get through all of these state of being ones. Tribulation, affliction, suffering, troubles. When I have all the resources and riches I think I need to get me through, I begin to lean on my own understanding. I begin to look at my own strength and to be able to reason, how can I get through this? And we look for comfort or consolation in ourselves. And Paul said we were under the sentence of death. Why would we look to dying men for help? Or we turn and we look for consolation or comfort in other people, which can help, but they can also let us down. Or lead us astray, even if they're well-intentioned. But we're going to seek it from somewhere. No one just goes through these words, troubles, trials, sufferings, afflictions, tribulations, and says, doesn't bother me, I don't care. We are going to get relief somehow. We are going to seek help somehow. Seek some way to medicate or sedate the emotions and the feelings of it somehow. And Paul said, we learn not to look for it in ourselves or in another, but in the God of all comfort. If you look at 2 Corinthians again, chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 9. We just referenced this. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. He says to trust in ourselves is death and destruction. Because like Paul, if we can apply this to us tonight, we too, or we also, in the flesh, in our sin, were under the sentence of death. So Paul said, why look to yourself or to another who are dead men walking when they're in the flesh, when you have the God who can raise the dead to look to? So if you look at verse number 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, it says this, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Verse number 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And it is one thing to say, if you're in a state of suffering, trials, tribulations, whatever it is, physical, spiritual, mental, that you're going to have comfort, you're going to have consolation, God's going to come through, just trust God. And what does that look like? It's two different words here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, where it keeps saying comfort, 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 consolation, consolation, consolation. It's two different words. Comfort means this. It is the state of physical ease or relief from pain and suffering. It's where it has ended. It has been taken away. There is no longer the suffering. Consolation is the comfort that we receive while enduring a disappointment or a loss, or immediately following a disappointment or loss. Paul is teaching us sometimes the God of all comfort comes in and gives you ease. He will give you a season where there's an absence of suffering. He removes it from your life or removes you from the situation, and God can bring comfort that way. He can relieve it. Or he says consolation. Oftentimes, what he does is gives you what you need to endure it or to recover from it. Because we're all going to suffer disappointments and losses. Whether you're going through life and you have certain expectations and they're not met, you have certain perceptions of how a situation should be, and that perception gets shattered. And when that happens, there is a wound that comes. Paul was there when his own kindred turned on him, when his brethren turned on him in the faith, when he had all these wounds, his battle in his mind. There's those wounds that come. There's that divide, or it's a gap in the soul, and a battlefield is set up. An enemy is launching an attack in the mind. And Paul is teaching us what I'm hoping to show us tonight. If I have not developed a plan, if I have not implemented a plan that when I am in a state of tribulation, trouble, affliction, suffering, Paul says here, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, if I have not already discovered, implemented a plan that I have learned how to go to God for comfort and consolation, then I'm going to default to my own comfort zone. I'm going to default to my own comfort zone and address my hurts in my own strength, which, if we're honest, is no comfort at all. Paul said, had we have tried to seek comfort, that attribute that removes me from this suffering, or consolation, what I need to get through this suffering, he said in verse number 9, the best I could have was the help of a man who was under the sentence of death. All it does is when I revert back to my comfort zone, whatever it is that I go to get relief from my stress, that I go to try to get some help or some strength or some distraction from my hurts, it just adds injury upon injury. It's a vicious, never-ending cycle. Paul is saying we need to learn how to biblically deal with past and present conflict so I can establish a foundation. I can learn how to lay and be standing upon a foundation of being content in whatever state I find myself by handling the past and the present conflict properly so that I have a foundation to work from for future conflict. Three things tonight I'll give you and we'll be done. Where Paul found his comfort and his consolation. Number one, Paul found his comfort and his consolation through the Scriptures. Keeping the words in mind, the comfort being the relief of suffering, consolation being what I need to sustain me during suffering, Paul said, I found the comfort and the consolation I needed in the Word of God. Psalms 119, 49, and 50 says this, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Now, there's a man that suffered emotionally and physically greatly. It was David. Much of it self-inflicted. But still suffered. And David said, my comfort, what gave me relief, what gave me healing, what brought me to a state where I could be content no matter what was going on, is the word of God. Listen to this wording, if you will, and we'll get there on Sundays. Acts chapter 15 says this. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. An epistle is a letter. Typically, Paul or one of the apostles would write a letter. They'd mail it off to a church or to a group of believers. This chapter 15 of Acts is when they have all gathered together. They've gotten an epistle. It says, when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. David said, I found great comfort in the word of God. The early church said, we found great consolation in the word of God. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, you're in Corinthians, just keep going. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you'll get to 1 Thessalonians. I hope, because I just said it in that order. No. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, a very familiar passage. For many, I should say. 1 Thessalonians, I only remember that because the T books in the Old Testament, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, they start by long and they go shorter. The words, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. That helps me. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, down to verse number 13, talking about the return of Christ. Again, this wording that Paul uses, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. As everybody is there looking upon this passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul said, I learned how to find consolation and comfort through the Scriptures, saturating myself in the Word of God. He doesn't say it always gives comfort where you get removed from the situation or there's relief of the pain. He says sometimes you find consolation from the Word of God. It is what you need to sustain you throughout and to recover from it afterwards. But the consolation, the comfort that comes when we saturate ourselves in the Word of God, we get a CD or an app on my phone that I have, and you can click on it and just keeps reading chapter after chapter until you push pause, and just chapter after chapter, book after book, when you're driving to work, when you're at home, when you can't sleep at night, saturating the mind with the Word of God, as Paul and other authors under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit remind us again and again through the Scriptures who we are in Jesus Christ. What lies ahead of us for the believer? Who indwells us and guides us through this life? The comfort and the consolation that we find through the Scriptures. more than I need to figure out all the pieces. And we all have pieces we're trying to figure out. We're all trying to plan things out. We're trying, how can I get out of this season of tribulation, of suffering, of self-affliction? None of us want to stay there. Or how can I plan out next month or next year? More than we need to line up all the pieces, and more than I need the help of a friend, as good as that can be, we need the comfort and the consolation that is only found in the Scriptures. Jesus said, it's okay if you're poor, if you're weeping, if you're hated, if you're hungry right now, because there is a comfort and a consolation that is found in Christ, who is the Word of God. He said, woe, warning, danger those that are rich, that are full, that are satisfied, that have all the resources they need right now, because they're going to depend on themselves, men who are under the sentence of death, and then find themselves in a season of distress. We need the consolation and comfort that comes through the Scriptures. You say, well, I go to my friends for that. I'm not against having good godly friends. But all we have to do, if we could dial his number, and we can't because he didn't have a phone and he's dead, is call Job and ask him how well his friends did at comforting him. He uses the phrase, I believe it is, you are miserable comforters. They came not to judge him. It says they made a plan. They talked to each other. So let's go and comfort him. Job chapter 2, I believe it is. They get there. And for the first week, they do a great job. Because for the first week, they sat and said nothing. And then as soon as they spoke, they do typically what is human nature. If we go to somebody, and I'm not against going to somebody, don't get me wrong, but first we go to the Word of God. Because Job's friends either had a reason why this is happening to you. Well, just fess up. Obviously, you're doing something if you're going through a season of affliction, trouble, all these words we just used. Or they try to console you by boosting your self-esteem. Well, you're such a good person. You don't deserve any of this. Well, the Bible says there's none that doeth good. So we go to the Scriptures. The Scriptures are an accurate assessor of the situation. The Word of God, if you go to James chapter 1, we'll take the time tonight. I know I'm already half an hour in. But James chapter number 1. The Scriptures, unlike our own flesh, which is desperately wicked, our hearts are deceitful above all things. Unlike our friends, even good intentioned friends who can mislead us, and I'm not against friends, the Scriptures are always an accurate assessor of the situation and of the person who is in the situation. James chapter number 1 says this down to verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He says, like a man looking into a mirror. You know the great and the horrible things about mirrors is you can't get them to lie to you. You look in it, and what is there is accurately reflected. And God says the Word of God is that accurate assessor of the situation and who is in the situation. It is not that I need someone telling me. You don't need someone telling you all the things you have done wrong that has caused this, or someone telling you all the wonderful things about you so you don't deserve this. We need the Word of God to accurately assess the situation and accurately assess us while we're in the situation. Verse 25 talks about, or verse 24, for he beholdeth himself. He looks in that mirror and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So Paul said, I have learned to be content because I have found my comfort and my consolation in the Word of God. We don't have time to go through these tonight. I think I'm going to stop here in just a second. Let me just read these two for you. Number two, he found his comfort and his consolation, not just in the Scriptures, but in the Spirit of God. Perhaps in a few weeks we'll come back to this when it's my slot again. But if you go to John chapter 14, 15, and 16, we won't tonight, but if you want to read John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus said, I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, I must needs leave. For if I don't depart, the comforter will not come. Do you have a comforter in your house? I mean, it's that time of year. And if you're my wife, obviously, there's never a bad time for a comforter. That thick, heavy blanket that's supposed to be for, makes the bed look good because it's folded straight, military cut edges at the end of the bed. No. So you can pull it up and feel safe and secure and warm. If there's a noise you're not supposed to hear in the night, all you have to do to be safe is stick your head under it. That way you don't see the bad guy coming. Of course, if you're me, you also stick one foot out the side so you can regulate your body temperature. It's too hot under the comforter. So you stick one foot out, it helps with your body temperature. But a comforter so I can get in it and I can feel secure and can feel safe. Paul said, I have found that comfort in the Comforter. The Comforter means this in the 1828 Webster's: one who administers comfort or consolation, one who strengthens and supports the mind when it's in distress or danger. Paul said, I found comfort in the Scriptures, comfort in the Spirit. I won't go more on that one or on the number three. He said, I found comfort and consolation in the saints. But in that order, in the Scripture and the Spirit. But he said, I also found comfort and consolation in the saints, in the people of God. We won't go there, we're going to, but in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 is where Paul gets to the place in this letter where he says, I sent Titus to you to see how you received my letter, to see if you took it serious, to see if you would respond to the word of God. And Paul in chapter 7 says, even though I was greatly distressed, I take great comfort because I have heard that the saints have received and responded to the word of God. Comfort in the Scriptures, in the Spirit, and in the saints.